God created us not to all look alike, and we need to accept that. Now listen closely. God did not create racial divide. God did not create that. We all came from Noah, right? God did not create that. I'll tell you who created it. People did. A lot of people think in Genesis 12, we talk about the Tower of Babel, where God confused the languages. I hear this a lot, and they say, well, in Genesis 12, that's where the races got mixed up. That's where, no, that's not it. That's not it at all. It's just languages. Everybody say languages. That's where the languages got confused, mixed up right there. You can read it for yourself in Genesis 12. But Genesis 12, the Tower of Babel, does not refer to the color of skin in any way. God created diversity. Now, I believe God wants this church not to be color blind, but color blessed. I believe that God wants, listen, God loves variety and diversity, right? And guys, don't be scared if somebody's a little bit different than you are and they're Christian, all right? Can I get an amen in the house today? See, it's important for us to learn what acceptance is and to be able to understand the theology behind this. So, all right, did you know there's black people in the Bible? All right? The man who had the honor of carrying Jesus' cross was a black man. Think about that, the honor of carrying Jesus' cross. By the way, there was black people present on the day of Pentecost. Because if you look at the African nations there on the day, man, they were all there, right? Some people don't know this. They think Christianity is all white religion. It's not. It's not. All right. Everybody say, preach, Pastor. Preach. And so we got to understand that. Acts 13. We read in Acts 13, verse 1, there's five leaders at the church of Antioch. John and Barnabas were sent there. Did you know two of the five leaders at the church of Antioch were black? Two of them were. Can you turn there, Jaden, if you can? I don't know if the computer's working or not. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God didn't make us look alike, act alike. All right, Acts 13, 1. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. A lot of people don't know this, but the word Niger there means black. That's what that means. Two of the five leaders in the early church. Two of the five leaders. And so we have two of them there. Now, the sad part is, that's where the slang word comes from, is that word right there. Y'all listen to me. And people have misused that word and abused that word, but that's where they got it from. We have to be careful what we say, what we hear, because it's sad. It's sad that we would take things and change things around and use things for that, but that's where they got it. Now, my point is, the Bible is not just full of white people. It's full of brown people, black people. Y'all with me? And it saddens me to hear people say, well, they're just all a bunch of white people. They're all a bunch of... No, they're not. They're full of different people, different styles, different gifts, different colors. Can I get an amen? And they work together in unity. What about that? God did not create racial divide. People did. Hallelujah. Listen, we all came from Noah. We did. We all came from him. And the enemy would come in and try to bust people up because of just what color they are. That is the saddest thing I've ever heard, seen in my life. But God says, I want you to come together. Hallelujah. Amen? So, now, by the way, the Bible, and I know a lot of people have a problem with this, the Bible does not forbid interracial marriage. The Bible forbids interfaith marriage. The Bible does not forbid interracial marriage, and I've heard that a lot in this area, you know. Well, you don't, black woman don't need to marry white man don't, you know, that is not biblical. that is just culture, that is just tradition in the area. The only thing the Bible forbids is interfaith marriage. What God is saying is, don't marry. And you say, well, what about in the Old Testament when he told the Israelites not to marry the Canaanites and not to go over here? The reason why he said that is because he knew if they did, they would start worshiping idols and it would be idol worship. And that's the reason why God said that. God didn't say that because he didn't want to marry someone of a different shade of color. Come on, people, let's have some common sense here today. Right? God forbids interfaith. Oh, by the way, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So God is saying, look, you need to marry someone who has the same faith as you are. You need to marry someone who worships me. That's what God is saying. Amen? So guys, everybody say, let's move on. Amen. I'm so glad we're moving on. See, the world, we should be past all this stuff, shouldn't we? We should be past it. It shouldn't be an issue, right? And I believe the church needs to stand up and take a stand. Especially in this area. I really believe that. In this area, I believe we need to take a stand and say, you know what? We're not going to be caught up in that junk. We are going to stand on the Word of God. We're going to stand on the Word of God. God created those people. It doesn't matter what they look like, where they came from. We are all created in the image of God and in His likeness. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I feel the anointing real strong here today. And I know the enemy does not want me to preach a message like this. The enemy does not want me to preach, because I'm telling you, if God's people would rise up and say, you know what, thank God for people of different variety, different color, because we're all coming together and we're going to show the world that the church can get along with someone of a different color. We can get along with someone who's from a different place, because we are God's people. We all bleed red. We are all of one blood. Hallelujah. So it's very important for us. Let me give you three definitions of what racism is. There's three definitions. The first definition is, it's defined as hating another person because of their race. The second definition is believing that a race is superior to other races. One example is Hitler. You know, he thought the Jews were an inferior race. That's one area. Now, the third definition is what I think is probably predominant in a lot of areas. It's prejudice toward another race. Now, prejudice, pre means before, right? Judas means judge, prejudice. So it means making a prejudgment about a person without the facts. This is mostly what we deal with, I believe, the third definition. And most of us, at one time or another, have had a prejudgment toward others, a prejudgment. But I believe that God is searching into our hearts, the church of today. I believe that God is talking to believers today, and He's really talking to us. He's really getting to us, right? And I'm just going to be transparent this morning, because I believe that God is working on all of us. And I remember, can the pastor be transparent this morning? You won't get mad at the pastor this morning? I remember being in a conversation one time, and I was talking about someone, and it was just a conversation, you know. And I said, "Yeah, that man is black," and it had nothing to do with what I was talking about. Nothing to do. I just said that was his color. And the Lord convicted me of it and said, why did you say that? It had nothing to do with what you, it was not even pertinent to the information. And you know what I started seeing a lot? I started seeing, and I thought, and then the Lord said, would you have said that if he was a white person? And it really got my attention, and I thought, man, maybe there is something there that I don't know, that I need out, right? Y'all are really listening to me this morning, aren't you? And the Lord began to convict me of that. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Because I want to be right, guys. I want to do right. Don't you want to do right? I want to be right before God. And so the Lord began to speak to me about that. And I was like, man, why did I say that? And I asked myself that. How many ever talks to themselves? Why did I say that? And I did. And now the Lord is working on me and teaching me some things. He's saying, son, you don't know it all. You don't know it all. And you need to love people. And you need to look at some of the prejudice that you might have in your heart that's hidden there that you may not even realize. And that's my prayer. That's why I'm preaching this morning, is to say, is there some there, something in your heart that may be a little prejudice towards somebody else? Lord, if it's in my heart, take it out. And that's why I'm preaching this message today. Lord, look at me, cleanse me. What did David say? David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And that's my prayer for you today, and my prayer for all of us today, is that God cleanse my heart if I have any of that in my life. Now, I'm going to go through some points here of some scripture. How many knows it's important to have scripture to back up what you're preaching? All right? Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says that racism is pure evil. It is. It's just evil. It's not God's will. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Racism is pure self-righteousness. That's what that is. Racism is pure self-righteousness. Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee was praying, Lord, I don't want to be like these other men. Do you see the pride? Lord, don't let me be like these other men. Right? Look. That's what he said. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. Do you see that? He says, Lord, don't let me be like other men. Number three, racism violates the Great Commission. We got it right here. You don't even have to bring it up on the screen. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. Right? Now you see the word nations there? The Greek word for nations there, it's not actually just talking about a nation with borders. It's actually talking about ethnicity. The Greek word is ethnos, meaning go to all these people groups of the world. Y'all with me? Right? There's an app on the phone called the joshuaproject.com. And you can download that app on your phone, and they will send you, and I've been posting it some on Facebook, and they will send you an unreached people group every day to pray for. Do you know how many unreached people groups there are? There's close to 8,000 unreached people groups in the world that have never heard the gospel. People groups. And they show up on my phone, and I'm like, I've never heard of this group before. I've never heard of this group. I've never heard of them. And every time they'll send me something, I'll pray. But the Lord, this is what the Lord has said. Go therefore and make disciples of all people groups. That's what he's saying. So guys, the world is a whole lot bigger than Benton. The world is a whole lot bigger than Calhoun. The world is a whole lot bigger. Guys, the Lord is wanting us not to just focus on the community, right? But he's wanting us to focus globally. Are we focused on missions? Are we focused on reaching people? Not just here, but also out in the world, right? Out in the world. And that's the reason why the Lord's really been working on my heart about missions. Global. Everybody say global missions. The Lord's been working on my heart about that. And I think it's important for us to support missionaries and to support missions, because if we're not supporting missions, then we're not supporting the great commission. Y'all agree with me on that? It's important that we support that. All right, racism violates the great commandment: love God, love each other. Right? Racism questions God's creation. I want you to turn to this verse, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Racism questions God's creation. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, God gives us a good verse here. And it says, he has made from how many? One blood. Every nation, ethnos, ethnic, every ethnic people group to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. One blood. Everybody say one blood again. One blood. Right? God did not create the racial divide. God did not do that. Racism questions God's plan. That's Revelation 5:9. And the last point here is racism questions God himself. And John 3:16, everybody knows what it says. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the ethnos. For God so loved every ethnic group. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. And so God has called us to reach people no matter where they came from, no matter who they are, no matter what they look like. We are called to love each other no matter what. And that is my message today, and that is my challenge to you today, is that we need to look and say, God, if there's any, now it doesn't make you a bad person, right? But there could be something there that may be hindering you from really reaching out to people with the gospel. But if there is something there, God, cleanse me of this, because I don't want to live with any kind of prejudice in my heart toward other people, toward other people of different color. Lord, I want to be able to witness to anyone and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. I want to show you a video, and if you could prepare that video, Jaden, I would love for you to go ahead and prepare that. And I hope that this, now this hasn't been a real shouting message, right? But I believe that I want people to know where we stand when it comes to this issue. When it comes to this, I want people to understand, wait a minute, that church, they stand for all people, they are for all people, and we don't show any judgment or partiality to anyone. Because, and I hear this a lot from other people, and they say, man, we went to Chattanooga, everybody shook my hand, everybody hugged my neck. I felt really accepted there, right? And I hear that a lot. And I've heard a few negative things too. but it's important for us to understand, hey, let's love each other and lift each other up in the Lord and show grace to each other. Amen? And I believe that before the Lord comes back, that all this racism junk, it's going to be gone in Jesus' name. It won't even exist in the church, right? Right? God didn't create segregation. The devil did. Humans did. People did. We are all created in the image and likeness of God. Is that video ready? Okay, go ahead. Somebody get the lights for me, please.
We end the week with the story of two little girls. They are just 4 years old, but grown-ups could learn a lot from them. Here's Steve Hartman on the road.
Red. Miami preschoolers Gia Sarnicola and Zuri Copeland say they're not best friends.
No.
They say they're closer than that. Closer than mere sisters even.
Hold on, I don't want to wash the paintbrush.
In fact, Gia and Zuri truly believe they're twins.
Oh, yeah.
Ashley and Valencia are their moms.
They will tell you that they are twins, and they have a long list of reasons why to back it up.
To them, what makes a twin?
Similarities.
Look, come here.
For example, the girls say they're both four, their birthdays are practically the same day, and of course the obvious physical similarities.
So what am I looking at here?
The same height.
Oh, because you're the same height.
Clearly, twins. Which is why they also insist on matching outfits whenever possible. So far, Ashley and Valencia have indulged them. But they also recognize there is some bitter to this sweet.
You know, you're happy for a few seconds, and then you become sad because they have to grow up. Mm. And then society takes over.
Indeed, society has already tried to take over.
Last month, Zuri and Gia were at a birthday party when an older kid told them they couldn't be twins because they don't have the same skin color. Gia broke down. But through her tears, she got out this rebuttal. She said, "You don't know what you're talking about. We're twins because we share the same soul."
I just get chill bumps.
Soul?
I was just like thrown by just that word.
Yeah.
Obviously, what Gia was trying to say is that at our core, we are one. And as we look back on this year, with all its division and racial strife, it's important to remember that while all this was going on, so was this.
We have a lot to learn, right? And we can learn from children.
In fact, the moms say they already have.
For sure. Yeah. We've never talked so much on the phone.
Yeah.
And that's what the twins want for all of us, to push back against the cynics.
Some girls said we're not twins. And we are twins.
And to stop it with this discrimination business once and for all.
And it makes her sad.
That way, they say, we can move on to the more important things in life.
You know what we're going to get today?
What?
We're going to get ice cream!
Steve Hartman.
And you don't.
Oh.
On the road, without ice cream, in Miami.
That is the CBS Evening News Tonight. I'm Jeff Glore in New York.
And it's my prayer that we will understand that we share the same soul. Let's all stand. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, it's our desire that we have a clean heart before you, that we have a pure heart before you. We do not want to be judgmental people. We don't want prejudice in our life. We don't want to be judgmental people. But Lord, we want to approach people and see people through your eyes and see them through your lens. Father, I pray, God, that you would let our perspective be godly. Father, I thank you that you have given us the eyes of grace, the perspective of grace. And I thank you, Lord, for touching everyone here today. And we receive your grace and mercy today to treat people as you would treat them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm opening this altar to anyone who needs a relationship with God. And we're celebrating that one person got saved. Amen. We are worshiping. We were celebrating over that. And this altar is open for anyone who needs prayer, whatever need you have. She's going to sing a song. And whatever need you have, I want you to come up to the front. I'll pray with you about anything that you have. Or maybe you've dealt with things of what the Holy Spirit has preached about today. Maybe you've dealt with that. And maybe you want God to help you with that. Listen, there's no shame in that. There's no judgment here. This altar is open. So as she sings today, I'm going to stand here. And I'll pray with you, but if you just want to kneel and you don't want me to pray with you, that's fine too. Because God is God here. This is God's church.